have been called to be your pastor, to be with you in the times of struggle and in the times of joy and celebration, to do weddings and to do funerals and to sit with you in committees and plan and dream and to put up adoptable ideas and all of those good things. I have been called here to be your priest, the one who officiates at the communion table, the one who officiates at our communion table can be an elder. We're not that fancy about things, but I have been called in as a priestly role to officiate at various and sundry things. But I have also been called here because I am Christ's prophet. I do not elevate myself when I say that. It is a burdensome responsibility sometimes, including today. I have been called to preach the truth as I know it and understand it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't get a pass on that. And that means you don't get a pass either. Today, we have to look some things squarely in the eye. Things that are happening in our world, things that happened in Virginia yesterday, must be faced. And Christians must be the ones who lead the way to true justice and peace and dignity for all people, because that's what Christ told us to do. As I read the scripture this morning, I didn't change the scripture. I do have another one that I want to perhaps use a little bit later, but I didn't change the scripture because I didn't want you to think that I was trying to proof text the scripture to fit my sermon. I still preach the same text from Romans. Paul, living in the midst of persecution as a church, living in the midst of a time when Paul had been converted to Christianity, he had been beating people. He had been telling everyone that the Jews were the only people who were right, and the Jews were the only people who could stand up tall, and the Jews were the only people that should have any rights, and everybody else, every other nationality, every other tribe, everything. Didn't matter what you were, everything else was beneath. And he was converted to Christ. And he realized he had made terrible, terrible mistakes. And he realized that he needed to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are all created in God's image, and we are all loved as God's creation. And our response is to love each other, even when it's hard. And Paul writes, Moses writes concerning the righteousness that has come from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? In other words, to bring Christ down. Who are you to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the abyss? Who will go to hell? That is to bring Christ up from death. No, it doesn't say any of those things. It says the word is near you, on your lips, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and confesses with the mouth and so is saved or sanctified. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is the Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this scripture as well as the first scripture of the song. How beautiful are the feet. Beautiful feet. I don't know about you. I don't have beautiful feet. I have never had beautiful feet. I'm sure there are people in the world who have beautiful feet, but I'm sure there are a lot more people in the world who do not have such beautiful feet. It's all in the eye of the beholder. I have a very good friend, Nancy Berger. She was in one of my churches last time, and her husband really likes her feet. Now, don't go into some venue off into the darkness, all right? He just likes her feet, thinks her toes are cute, and he likes it when she gets nail polish on them. Okay, it's not about fetishes or any of that kind of stuff. Why do we always go to the garbage? Why do we go to the garbage heap? You say one thing, and everybody goes to the garbage heap. And we'll talk some more about that in a little bit. Anyway, some people do, I'm sure, have beautiful feet. Jesus, Paul, are not talking about your actual feet. So if you happen to be a person who does not have beautiful feet, it's okay. Your feet to Christ are what you move with, you stand with, and what gospel you move upon, you're driven by, and what gospel you stand upon, the foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is the first commandment, the greatest commandment of all? And? Okay, everybody. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. One more time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Everyone. Everyone. Everyone is your neighbor. You can say all you want. I don't want to have that neighbor. I didn't choose that neighbor. That person just happens to live by me. That makes them your neighbor. I didn't choose to sit by this person in church. They sat down after me. That person is your neighbor. Love them. Jesus went further. Jesus said, you have heard it said, it was not in scripture, but you've heard it said, that you are to love your neighbor, but hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them. Oh, come on, God, really? We gotta love our enemies? Yes. I can tease and cajole and all of that, but the truth is, yes, that's what he said. And he is quoted in saying in 1 John, if you love your brother but you do not love your enemy, you will not ascend to heaven. We got a lot of work to do. What happened in Virginia yesterday should never have happened. Now, I am I'm asking you to listen with open hearts. What happened yesterday should never have happened. The premise around the incident in Virginia was that there was a lawsuit that was brought to take the statue of Robert E. Lee out of the park. And that was defeated in a court of law. But there were people, there was a group, I am not saying it was you, I'm saying there was a group of people who saw that as an opportunity to stand up for white supremacy, to stand up for neo-Nazism, to stand up for Nazism, fascism, and alt-right. Whatever you want to call that. There's a lot of definitions of that. And so they put the word out that there would be an alt-right rally. All the alt-right groups should join together in that park yesterday. They said they were going to stand up for Robert E. Lee being left where it needed to be left, in that park. I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. There may have been some people in the groups who really did want to see that statue stay in place. I will believe that. But the vast majority of people saw that as an opportunity to move our country backwards. To say that white is right and everybody else are animals. And if you don't believe me that this is what these groups preach, you go to one of the meetings. When I was 4 years old, my father had just gotten out of the military. And he worked as a human resources, he was the hiring guy. I mean, you know, they didn't have human resources, fancy names. He worked as a hiring guy in a factory in Arkansas. Little Rock, Arkansas. My father hired black people. And I remember, I will never, ever forget the night that we had an enormous cross burned in our front yard because my father dared to hire black people who were animals. Who didn't have any intelligence to know any better. Who were less than human. My father's life was threatened. Our lives were threatened. Don't tell me that night that any Christian was in that group. The KKK proclaims that they are Christianity. They are not. They are not. Don't believe it for a second. Now, the next thing that happened for yesterday was a group of Christians, a group of clergy of all different denominations, all different colors, all different everything, some with clerical robes, some with stoles, some whatever, decided that they were going to march in silence to the place where this rally was being held. They were going to kneel down and pray and sing "This Little Light of Mine." I thought it was a cute choice. "This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine." They marched silently. They didn't engage anybody. They didn't say bad words. They didn't attack. They didn't do any of those things. They marched silently, which is their constitutional right, just as it was the alt-right's constitutional right to gather as an assembly. They marched. They lined up at the sidewalk. They knelt down. They prayed. And some of the folks that were there from white supremacy militia. Yes, I want to make sure I got those initials right. Were standing right in front of them with machine guns and gear, flak jackets. jackets and helmets, and they're standing right there. Those people were kneeling on their knees in prayer. And they began to mock them and make fun of them. And those ministers did not answer, and they did not retaliate. They prayed, they sang, they stood up, and then they went to the entrances of the park and made a human chain, a silent human chain. Meanwhile, while that was going on, there was another group that had heard about what was going to happen and how the KKK was coming and the white supremacy was coming and the fascists were coming and all of that. And these people got themselves into a group and got themselves all riled up. We're going to go in for a battle. We're going to take them down. They were not acting as Christians. They were not doing what God asked them to do, to stand for righteousness, to stand for Christ our Lord. And so they came marching down the street. And the white supremacists antagonized them, and they antagonized the white supremacists, and caught in the middle were the Christians who came to bring peace. And we all look at all of that. Three people died yesterday. Two police officers and a woman died. Over 100 people were treated in hospitals, and some of them were in critical condition. Now, that came partly because of a car that decided to ram in to the folks who were protesting. I think they were all protesting, if you want to know my opinion, but anyway. But the point is, this is not us, people. This is not our nation. This is not who we are as Christians. This is not who we should be. We have got to face the fact that there are groups in our country who want to stir up trouble no matter what. They want to pick fights no matter what. And there are groups in our country, no matter what you tell me, there are groups in this country who still believe that white is right and everything else is not. And they'll do whatever they have to do to get rid of everybody else. One of their leaders used this day and used the President of the United States to say, this is why we elected Donald Trump, because he said, we're going to get our country back, and that means the white people. Now, I am not a Trump lover. You know that already. But I never did hear Trump say that in the campaign. I did not hear that. Racism has to stop. This is not godly. There's nothing godly about it. And it's got to stop. Paul says, if you want righteousness, it is righteousness of faith out of which you act. The Psalms say that God's righteous ones are those who love. Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? Everyone. The violence, no matter who does it, has to stop. You can have peaceful protests. That was proven yesterday. It was like a living witness sitting there watching that happen. You have one group, they're armed to the teeth because they have an open carry law. they're armed to the teeth over here. You've got another group who brings in all sorts of clubs and PVC pipe with concrete. The only thing they're interested in is beating the hell out of each other. And the last one standing is right. Folks, there's nothing Christian about that. We need to follow those folks who peacefully marched, peacefully prayed, peacefully stood for what they believe in. They did not back down. They did not ignore it. But they did not fight. They did not harm. They loved. We got a lot of work to do, folks. An awful lot of work to do. And it begins with us. I know this happened in Virginia, but if you think it couldn't happen in Carrollton, you're wrong. Or Columbia, or Kansas City, or Sedalia, or St. Joe, or anywhere else. We have to stand and say no more. No more violence, no more hatred, no more bigotry, no more racism, no more. Only love, only God's righteousness, only justice for all people. Wasn't that somewhere in our pledge that we made to our country? And justice for all. Let us pray. To Jesus that you're going to work for peace, Christ's peace in this world. Let us stand and sing.